everybody. Welcome to Talking Heartland. This is the show where we are recapping back episodes of Heartland TV show. And we are on season 11, episodes 10, 11, and 12. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and Michelle is here.
Hey, everyone.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing very well.
Good, good. Yeah, so we're into season 11. These episodes were not my favorite.
Yeah, not my favorite either. I mean, the first one's pretty horrific. But thankfully, Rachel did warn me that this one wasn't a great episode. And I will say, like, I do credit the writers for sort of they're having to make us believe some pretty unbelievable things, you know, just character motivations and things that don't make sense, just because they've been sort of forced and backed into a corner in terms of acting availability. So I really do think they're doing the best they can with you know what they have. It's just it's a little hard after spending like a decade, you know, a decade's worth of, you know, history, and then, you know, you see characters make decisions that you're like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard when you've had a show going on as long as this show to make it all still work. And, you know, it's not like it's ER or something like that where you can just change out and have a whole new cast and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. You have shows like Legends of Tomorrow, like the CW show that recently got cancelled. I mean, that just was like a revolving door of characters. It was just, it was crazy the amount of characters that sort of came and left. It's so hard when it's just focused on one family. You know, they need to bring in some like long lost cousins or something.
The secret we've already had in Heartland, we've had the secret children plots several times.
we need more secret family members.
Well, our first episode is called A Fine Balance. And in this episode, Amy and Tim arrive in Mongolia, but find out that Ty's in danger. Georgie's confidence is rattled by Val right before her upcoming competition. Mitch and Peter end up taking care of cranky Lindy together. Yeah, so we both agree this episode was not the best.
No. It's pretty bad when, like, Peter and Mitch's scenes were, like, my favorite in the whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't care about all the shenanigans going on in Mongolia.
Yeah, I don't get it. And to go back is so crazy, and to go back with Tim, who's, you know, so sick, is also just insane. And
that nobody would have noticed at this point.
Yeah, that's, and again, I don't know if it was just they had to wait until, I mean, even Ty wasn't there when he eventually confessed, but, you know, having to wait until Lou was there, and yeah, it's just so frustrating. And it feels like we went all the way back to Mongolia for literally, like, like the horse was fine. You know, Ty just went there and got kidnapped, and it just feels like it was all sort of for nothing, really.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Till seems fine, although not taken care of very well. And again, like, you're talking, this trip would probably be $3,000 between for both Tim and Amy, and well, and Ty be more than that. It'd be $4,000. It's easy, at least $1,200 to fly from Canada to Mongolia, and so you're talking three people plus other expenses. That's a lot of money that these Mongolian people are paying to have her, like, talk to Attila. She doesn't even work with him.
She doesn't even do anything. And yeah, there's no sort of support system on the other side, which is crazy. It's like whoever they is have to get us over there. And it's like, there's no organization. There's no there's no non-profit. There's nothing there waiting for them, which is crazy.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And we have these poachers that abduct Ty, and they say, you destroyed the balance. And then they shoot the Bata guy, and there's this conversation between the shaman and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
The shaman's job is to recognize imbalance and that darkness surrounds Tim.
Yeah, a shadow.
Which, I don't know. I just, there was a better way that we could have gotten to all of that.
Yeah, it seems a long way to go just for something that, you know, we could have got there, in a, like you said, in a quicker way without them having to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it wasn't an easy trip traveling when you're that sick.
Yeah, and then so the shaman gives Tim like an amulet, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be for balance.
Mm-hmm. With a hawk and on it.
What's that?
With a hawk.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we also have this whole thing with Val and Georgie. And frankly, I agree with Val. We're talking about the Olympics.
We're talking about the Olympics, thank you.
Right? Yeah, like, the Olympics.
Like the idea that Amy and Georgie don't think that this is going to be hard. Like, I mean, we every year, every like 4 years, we watch the Olympics, or, you know, every 2 years, if you watch the Winter Olympics, it's, you know, you see these kids essentially just give up their whole lives. They don't go to school. And if they do go to school, their day starts at like 4 a.m. where they spend 4 hours before they actually go to school. Like, they give up so much.
Yeah.
Because it's such a tough competition, and you have to train so hard every day that to sort of even get to the Olympics is such a huge effort and such a huge commitment. Like, the idea that they just think that they can, you know, do it on, I have no idea. I mean, we never went this far with Amy in terms of her jumping. You know, she sort of got to Georgie's level and doing sort of local things and then sort of, you know, stopped. But yeah, the idea that they're suddenly realizing that this is, you know, not an easy task is sort of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you have to work really hard to make it to the Olympics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not just some like, well, we're gonna take it easy today. No.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. And equestrian is such a global sport. I mean, I know it's huge in the UK. Like, I mean, our Olympic team does really, really well, and it is such a, so much money gets poured into it. And yeah, I mean, Georgie isn't even a part of like an equestrian. I don't know if they have like teams, or, you know, she's not part of like any sort of US sort of Canadian training system, or, you know, they're still at the very bottom, and this, you know, they're finding it difficult. So yeah, I'm not super positive for where it's headed if they're finding this part so difficult.
Yeah, because going to the Olympics is a huge like financial investment too.
Mm-hmm.
They have to
get sponsors and
it's so, actually, I mean, I think the show doesn't want us to agree with Val, but like, the fact that her coach is just leaving like right before a big event, the fact that her coach doesn't have any experience training Olympic mm-hmm. athletes, and the fact that that they're just kind of haphazardly like, well, today was a get back to the basics day. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, a documentary I watched a few years back was a Johnny Weir documentary, and he'd worked with the same coach since he started figure skating late. Like, he was like 10 or 11 when he started, which is late for figure skaters. And, you know, he worked with the same coach for like 10 years. And they had like a super close bond to the point where they were like best friends. And then he had to, you know, accept the fact that this coach had took him as far as she could, and he had to essentially fire her. And it was one of that was really heartbreaking and one of the hardest things he's ever had to do, because he recognized that if in order to get where he wanted to go, he had to have the right coach. He had to have someone that was going to as someone that had Olympic experience as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was like a moment at one of the big competitions where he was like racked with nerves, and his coach was the same, which isn't, you know, ideal when, you know, you're looking to decide, and you know, you want someone who's sort of, you know, been there before, you know, understands and is sort of very supportive, but then not a bag of nerves the way you are. But yeah, it just doesn't bode well that Amy's so distracted and, you know, doing three other jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And also that she would be like that happy with third place. Like, yes, you don't want to like, I don't know, you don't want to like hurt yourself over it, or, you know, like there's a limit, but you should be a little bit upset. Like,
yeah, you should be striving for first place every single time if you want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah. So it didn't really make sense. Also, so Dylan helps her. He calls her brown eyes. And then there's somebody taking photos of them, which I don't really understand why anyone would care about a third place finisher in a local competition.
Yeah, who's keeping track of like the Hudson sort of higher up sort of families? And it's
really and are we supposed to think that Dylan arranged this to have those pictures taken?
I'm not sure, you know, that and sort of we don't understand, I don't understand, you know, who he is in terms of society, that this is like something that he is. We saw him go to a fancy party once, but you know, it wasn't clear to me that he was sort of a celebrity, you know, within sort of Hudson
it seemed like did he arrange the taking of these pictures, and if so, why, and why would anyone care? And I don't know, I didn't really get it.
Initially I thought it was like friends passing it around and it got back to Georgie, and then it's like, no, wait a minute, I think that's like an actual like gossip site.
Yeah, it looked like it was a TMZ or something.
TMZ.
And then we have Mitch and Peter taking care of Lindy. And that was a pretty funny part of the episode.
Yeah.
Although the way that Peter gets thrown up on is not realistic. Like, he had green stuff like in weird spots that I'm like, how would it get there? Like, what?
Yeah, I think they were just in that for the walls.
Like, you would have to have the baby at like his hip in a weird way. Like, I don't know. And that would be a lot of throw up too for a baby that small.
The baby's not holding that much.
But then when they were trying to find the Lambie, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really funny.
What is that? And then Peter, you destroyed the Lambie. And Peter says, Mitch, you're not on the registered baby list and babysitter list. But then they find Lambie. I know that whole scene. It was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. They have pretty good, you know, they play off each other well, despite the fact that the characters, you know, don't like each other.
Right. Yeah, they did a good job. And one of our favorite commenters who comments on the Heartland episodes, she said in one of her comments that I guess in Canada that you're allowed to have the babies for 15 minutes is the rule. So, and then they have twins, so that's they get a half hour. So not much, but they do a good job, because they really do have a lot of Lindy in these episodes. So, like, there's not that many scenes where you think it's a doll.
They do a lot with her, but I remember watching like the behind the scenes of like the Harry Potter films, and especially the first one, and they have those kids for such, you don't realize, you know, they're on screen, you know, 100% of the time, yet, you know, everybody behind the scenes is stressing out because they have to spend like X amount of hours in school a day, and you know they have them for like an hour, and they somehow have to put a movie together.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's especially short for baby, which makes sense, but it's also like impressive that they've kept the same children.
Yeah, the same children, yeah.
That they
I do think they age up Katie at one point, but yeah, they're really consistent with like the twins and
I mean that they would end up being actors and that they would like doing it I know it's pretty impressive. The Spencer twins are so cute. Adorable. Excuse me. So then Ty thanks Tim. This is and then Tim says, "You'll learn soon enough. That's what dads do." So that was cute, even though he was very difficult.
Like the worst person to travel. Yeah, he was like, you know, just arrived and he was already being the worst person to travel with.
He's complaining about the person driving and the thing smell, and I'm like, what are you? And he's like, why does nobody speak English? And I'm like, he's like, he says English should be required everywhere. I'm like,
no,
you're in a foreign country, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't think he's left Hudson. I think in a long time.
Then at the end, Lindy says data, which was super cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this episode, not my favorite. I would give it... I'd give it a 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 5.5 for me.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast.
Bethany House Publishers and Becky Wade's newest release, Turn to Me.
Summer is the perfect time for romance, and Becky Wade's contemporary romances always deliver.
Her compelling Misty River romance series is set in the picturesque Blue Ridge Mountains and follows the love stories of friends bound by a life-changing event.
The perfect combination of intrigue, romance, and wit. This is a series you will not want to put down.
Get 40% off and free shipping at bakerbookhouse.com.
When you purchase any of the Misty River romance novels with the promo code MISTYRIVER40.
That's bakerbookhouse.com and code MISTYRIVER40.
Okay. So then the next episode is called Somewhere in Between. And this one, Tim is forced to examine his feelings for Casey. Amy works with a former racehorse in need of a new owner. Jack steps out of his comfort zone to support Lisa, and Wyatt returns with a warning for Georgie. So like, I didn't really understand this whole Hunt Club thing. It was a little confusing to me.
This was so silly. Like, I mean, this, it's like a sort of role play fox hunt. That's what I took it as. Like, I mean, they do fox hunts in the UK and they're absolutely horrific and they should absolutely be banned. And, you know, but this is just essentially like they are role playing it because there's no foxes, there's no anything. It's not even like it was so strange.
Like, at one point, one point, Jack does a jump and that seemed to count for some points or something, but I was just confused about how there's a winner of this and what it is, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, I think this is just a bunch of bored rich people.
And Dan is the field master, and I'm not sure what he did.
I was
confused.
Yeah, that feels like, you know, he just got to wear a different jacket.
Yeah. And so, and I mean, they've come up with a lot of different stuff for this show with horses, but this one is the weirdest.
Yeah, this one took a cake. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tim has the amulet, and then Amy has a bad dream at the start. So she's pretty upset. And And then Val is upset with Georgie about finishing third, which I'd agree with. I mean, you have to still, you don't want people to feel like terrible about themselves, but you do want them to be the best.
Right. Yeah, you want the Olympics. Yeah. You want them to be, you know, satisfied with the fact that they placed high, but always striving for, you know, a spot further.
And so Val and Lisa are like plan this whole event. And you also are required to have a English saddle for this event. I don't know why, but he has to go from Western to English saddle, and that's hard for Jack.
Yeah, it seems sort of based on like I say, the fox hunts that we see here. You know, that's the way they dress, and you know, the only difference is, you know, the ones in the UK are, you know, like I say, horrific and should be banned, and you know, really barbaric. But yeah, this just seemed like a weird sort of role play of that.
Yeah, I was just confused about how they seem to be a winner, and I'm like, what's the winner? How do they make points? What is this game?
It's just like the winner is just like bragging rights, I think.
Yes. Dylan's horse Arrow is lame. And so he has a conversation with Val, and Val says they have the perfect horse for him. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's the weird part about Equestria, is that the athlete is kind of the horse.
Yeah, and you know,
in a way.
And again, you know, this is, you know, pretty ugly, but this is also a part of sport. You know, you know, I follow probably tennis the closest, and over the years there's been some pretty, you know, dramatic, you know, coach, you know, shifts and things where you go, oh, you know, that's probably caused some drama. And you know, I think one of the biggest ones was I think it was Jeannie Bouchard, who started working with Laura Robson, who's a British players coach, and it was very sort of like she poached, you know, her coach, and it was, you know, all pretty sort of, you know, gossipy, and that happens in sports. You know, you have, you know, so many, you know.
It is kind of amazing that when you're on that kind of competitive level, that a coach really makes that big a difference, because you would think that at that point it would kind of really just be the athletes, but it does make a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Sometimes, you know, there are some ones that I really don't get, and you know, some athletes need, you know, someone to physically, some need them as more sort of a mental, you know, make them sort of mentally strong and sort of get through a match mentally. But
But yeah, you're talking millions of dollars that goes into an Olympic athlete. I mean, I don't know for equestrian, but it seems like it would be expensive.
Yeah. And George is just so lucky that she, although, you know, Val is an absolute nightmare, you know, where is she going to get someone that's going to, you know, essentially, you know, finance this entire endeavor? Do you know, it's, you know, at some point she's going to have to get the horse, you know, overseas, and you know, that's expensive.
Which I'm trying to think. So this aired, this episode aired in 2018. So that would have been, what was the 2020 that ended up being 2021 Summer Olympics. All of a sudden my mind is blank. What was the last Summer Olympics? Is that in Beijing, or is that, no, that was winter.
Where was it? Oh, is it Tokyo? Tokyo was 2020.
Okay, yeah. So that's what she would have been working towards.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tokyo. Boy, 2018 feels like a million years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was like, wait, was that the Vancouver? And Vancouver was in 2010.
But then we have then we have Jack wearing the it looked like a polo outfit to me.
Yeah, I mean it did just look sort of like a very equestrian Olympic sort of outfit. Mm-hmm. No, that seemed like the thing that they wear, you know, doing the jumping and things like that. But yeah, uh-huh. It was quite a sight seeing Jack in those pants.
Yeah, he says this hunt club is a thing outside my wheelhouse, but I know how much it means to you. So that was cute.
Yeah.
And then you have Amy. She's in the hunt, but she's riding a client's horse. Oliver, I think is his name, right? Yeah, Oliver.
Yeah,
Oliver. Hoping that somebody will see the horse and make an offer on them. So I guess that's mm-hmm. another thing that's happening during this weird competition.
Yeah, Amy's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah. You did have a cute moment between Amy and Tim where she thanks him for coming to Mongolia.
Yeah.
And everything. So Wyatt talks to Georgie and he says, I hope you don't think these people are your friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's very suspect of Dylan. And he tells Georgie about Val and the horses
mm-hmm.
and everything. And they do have very good chemistry, I think.
Yeah.
Wyatt and Georgie.
They have the better chemistry, I think. Mm-hmm. I do like Dylan, but I just don't think the chemistry is quite as strong as Wyatt mm-hmm. and Georgie.
Yeah. Well, and they seem to be sort of implying that he's shady, but I don't really understand how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like he's just playing, you know, the game of, you know, trying to get to the top. And sometimes you have to, you know,
yeah,
undercut. It's not even undercutting, you know, Georgie doesn't want to take the horse, someone has to.
Right. Yeah, and the whole scene between Lindy and Tim and him telling the story about Princess Marion was so mm-hmm. cute. I love that.
Yeah. I think we're on a, you know, after that sort of terrible traveler Tim, we get some pretty good Tim stuff. He's back to sort of being, you know, good Tim that we can actually support and get behind. I'm sure the annoying Tim will rear his ugly head again fairly soon, but for now we've got, you know, really sort of sad reflective Tim just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish we more of this, less a belligerent annoying Tim.
Yeah.
So Ty and Amy are watching Jasper. Mm-hmm. It was the dog of Cass and Caleb. Oh. And Tim's over there and Jasper eats a whole bunch of chocolates. And so
hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
they have to take him to the vet because that's not good. It's poisonous for dogs, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Val thinks Georgie is coasting. She's getting more and more frustrated. And then Dylan tells or says, if Arrow is out for the season, then so am I. We also have, we find out that Val and Dan are dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lisa talks to Val about it. And Val says, I would never give Dan a cent. I'm just having fun. So, good for her.
Good for her, yeah.
And then we have this whole conversation between Casey and Tim. And Tim says, I don't love you anymore. That was brutal.
Yeah, Casey does not deserve this. Yeah, this is like, I realize what he's doing, but I feel like he goes way too far with Casey. And like I said, he's more sort of manageable in these episodes, but that was really brutal.
Yeah, and she says, you're such a coward, which is accurate.
Yeah.
And so then finally Tim says, you're right, I am a coward. One of my regrets is not being honest with Marion about what I was going through. I was drowning in a sea of alcohol and pain pills. Marion did her best, but I wouldn't let her in. And she said, and then he says, she left me and I need you to do the same thing. And he finally tells her about the tumor.
Yeah.
And Casey says, I'm not going anywhere. Which, I mean, I do think that Casey is the best relationship he's had on the show.
Yeah. Best relationship. Probably too good for him at this point.
Yeah. He deserves her. So then Lisa apologizes to Jack, and that's when he does the jump. And it seems to mean something, and I don't really understand it.
Yeah, you got so many points for that.
I guess. So Amy finds a new owner for Oliver, so that's good. And and then Wyatt talks to Georgie. And she says, I forgive you, but only offering friendship and lay off Dylan. So there you go. I mean, they're in high school. Why do they need to be more than friends? That's what I say. It's just having fun. Yeah. It's not like you're going to get married. Just be friends. Just have fun together. That's what I would tell my daughter if.
Yeah.
She want. I would just say, you're in high school. There's no point in having a permanent relationship right now. You're not going to be getting married. You're not going to be just have fun together.
Yeah. Unless you're like Caleb and Ashley and you actually do get married. That's why I do like Wyatt a little bit more, because he does seem a little bit more fun than Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, we haven't really gotten to know him. He's just like, we've only seen him as this kind of shady for I don't know why reason. Like, did he arrange the photos? Like, what's going on? I guess maybe we'll find that out.
Mm-hmm.
He's her competitor, but then he helps her. So it's a little weird.
We don't really have a read on him yet. We haven't really seen him outside of the sort of equestrian bubble either.
Yeah. So then we see Tim leaving the amulet and the and his hat on Marion's grave, but I guess he gets it because it's in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't leave him there permanently. But this is, you know, a sweet moment. And so this episode was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, again, the writer sort of did the best they could with, you know, two of the main characters being gone.
The hunt was just strange.
Coming up with some sort of weird hunt that wasn't actually a hunt.
If any of you listening know about these hunts, these fake hunts, please tell us, the Hunt Club. We would love to hear and learn more. I give this one, I'll give it a 7.
I'll go 6.5.
Yeah, I was thinking about 6.5.
You just don't want to be too brutal.
All right. Next episode is called Out of the Shadow, and it's Tim rallies the family together for a memorial ride on the 10th anniversary of Marion's death. Jade is offered a scholarship at a school in Texas. Georgie is forced to make a difficult decision when Val questions Amy's coaching abilities. So, yes, in this episode, we have a lot going on. I would say the strength was the whole memorial ride. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That was nice. We start out with Jade on the bronc, and Tim tells her that there's the scholarship open in Texas. And so I guess we probably won't be seeing that much more of Jade on the show, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that, yeah, I've no idea, but I've got a feeling that she'll become sort of like a Caleb character and just sort of pop in and out. But yeah, it's sort of, it felt very anticlimactic, the sort of goodbye between her and Georgie. It was just sort of a, like, bye. It's like, wait a minute.
It looks like I'm looking at her filmography, and it looks like she's still on the show. Mm-hmm. Let's see. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's on 6 episodes of the next season, and then she's not on any in 2020. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 in 2021. So yeah, I guess we'll still be seeing some of Jade, but it'll probably there'll be a little break. But I like Jade.
Yeah, I like Jade too.
I think she's good. So she's debating. She doesn't want to leave family, leave Hudson, but it's this great opportunity. And that's good. And so Val is watching Georgie practicing, and she says, when you're on my team, you're first place or no place. And she just doesn't feel that they're taking this seriously enough. Amy gives Georgie this fun ride. Mm-hmm. And so Georgie rides for Val, and she hits one of the things, and Val's frustrated. Val wants to fire Amy, and which I don't even understand why Amy is doing this to begin with. I mean, she has so much to do with clients and horses and everything like that. Like, why is she being a coach? Like, she's not a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also seems like such a small sort of operation as well. It's just her and Amy. And you would feel like if you were headed towards Olympics, I mean, the horse is the athlete, but, you know, the rider is also an athlete. You would think that Georgie would be, you know, training, you know, physically and sort of, you know, you have to be very fit and very...
Yeah, they would have like capable. Yeah, a gym. Like,
yeah, they would have gyms, they would have, you know, it would be sort of like a full-time job, and it's sort of been treated like a hobby. So yeah, it doesn't really line up with what we know about Olympic athletes.
Yeah, and so Georgie quits, and I wrote, I agree with Val, it's the Olympics.
Yeah, Val is brutal, but yeah, she does have a point of, like, she has to see improvements in order to sort of let Amy continue, because, like you said, Amy's, you know, running her own business. She's a new mum. She's basically I wouldn't say a single mum, but Ty's just not around.
Training somebody for the Olympics is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you know, is Amy being paid for this? Like, because, you know,
right,
Val would be very justified in being mad if she was you know, financing this whole thing and paying Amy for her time, and she's not seeing any improvements.
Yeah. They should have just left it as like local competition. If they had, once they threw in the Olympics, that's where they lost me. I mean, I'm just too big a fan of the Olympics that I know, you know, that it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yes. It's, you know, all encompassing in mm-hmm. terms of the life. And, you know, Dylan seems to be more that. You know, that seems to be his whole identity, is just, you know, horses and going to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have the whole thing with Jade and Tim, or Tim's talking mm-hmm. about how Tim got the chance to be a cowboy and took it, but it was away from home for a year, and mm-hmm. it was hard, but every buckle I won was now on account of that. Mm-hmm. And it says, at this level, the fun is in accomplishing the goals you set.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true.
Yeah. You know, it must be fun being sort of a top athlete, but I imagine you have to sacrifice quite a lot. I mean, I know, again, tennis is the one that I follow, and it's like, they're never home. They don't really have a home.
Yeah.
You know, they're just on the road constantly.
Mm-hmm. So we also have Jen watching Lindy with Mitch as help, and that mm-hmm. was pretty cute.
Yeah.
I like Jen.
I like Jen too. She's Lisa got a really good energy. She's
really good. And then we have Lou returning, and she's excited about getting Georgie a dress for the formal.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt asked Georgie to the formal, and Georgie says, you know, we're just friends, but he's like, you can still go to the formal and just have fun. Don't be embarrassed mm-hmm. and everything like that. Was that something that you did in high school, going to formals?
No, formals weren't really a thing. I feel like that British schools are sort of, Scottish schools are sort of adopted the concept of a prom. In the last sort of decades, but yeah, it wasn't a thing when I was grown up. There was sort of school discos and things like that, but yeah, it wasn't, you know, this big thing.
It's certainly become a bigger thing mm-hmm. since I was in high school, but although in the 90s was totally the era of the movies, where every movie ended in the big prom, you know, kind of thing. But I never went to prom because I got my appendix out for the weekend of prom, and then my family moved. I wasn't in, basically graduated a year early, mm-hmm. and so I wasn't there for my senior prom, but I missed my junior prom. But I did go to homecoming, and it was pretty fun. There's this guy named Jim who mm-hmm. I was really good friends with, and we were both taking the aquatics class, getting our lifeguarding certification.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both had history, I think, after. And I had a big crush on him, but I didn't think it was mutual, but we were good friends. Anyway, I just felt like he was never going to ask me, and I wanted to go to homecoming. And so on our way out of aquatics class, I just said, hey, what are you doing like the second Saturday of September or whatever? What are you doing? Oh, nothing. Oh, you want to go to homecoming? So we did, and it was super fun, and we had a good time together, and I still follow him on Facebook. We're still friends, so
yeah, a little more could you want, you know. That's pretty good. Like, if you're going to go to one of those things, and, you know, it's stressful going with like a date or whatever, going with a friend is like the best option. Mm-hmm. Just go have fun.
Yeah, that's what we did. And remember, we went to an Italian restaurant. He borrowed his mom's BMW. It was very exciting. He was very excited about it. That's the kind of thing I feel. That's the way relationship should be in high school. Just friends, fun, have experiences together. I mean, and we usually had more fun. They had an after prom, after homecoming, whatever party that they would throw. And the whole, you, in order to go to the after event, you had to sign a pledge that you wouldn't be drinking. And that was kind of the thing. And obviously that wasn't a problem for me, but anyway, I think that we usually had more fun at the after party than the actual dance. Cause it's kind of boring. I like the whole getting ready for the dance, and I like going to the dance. I do not like dancing. So
yeah, I'm the same. I don't like dancing.
I'm so bad at it. I have no natural rhythm. Yeah. I'm really, really bad.
Yeah. Snap. Just like I'm sort of missing that point, that sort of aspect of life.
Yeah. But anyway, that was fun. And Georgie looked really pretty in her red dress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it's sort of frustrating that we're sort of being led to believe that Lou would sort of miss these sort of milestone moments. So it was nice, you know, that she missed the competition the episode before, last minute. So it was sort of nice that she was a part of this, even though it didn't, you know, come to anything. It was nice that she was there for Georgie in one of the moments that we just haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. And like we said, the moral ride was really good. And Tim saying, I know what I put you through, Marion. And they're all at Marion's spot.
Yeah.
And Tim says, I'm sorry. And they have that big family hug, which was adorable.
Yeah. It was just frustrating that Ty wasn't there.
That's true. Yeah, where did they claim Ty was at? He was at some...
Yeah, he was visiting his mom in Vancouver.
Okay.
Okay.
And so then Wyatt offers to go on a ride with Georgie instead of going to the dance. And I feel like you can go on a ride anytime. But yeah. Go to the dance. It's, I don't know. I would have gone to the dance. Even though I don't like dancing, I still would have gone. Whereas you can go on a ride anytime.
Yeah, I feel like it's just not Georgie's thing, which is fair enough. But yeah, I agree.
Just so yeah, Lou can't sleep. And she's trying to help with Georgie. I don't know if I said, did we say Georgie? So Georgie quits. And Lou supports her in that. And I mean, I'd agree, because if you're not invested, then what are you doing? Then Jade says goodbye to Georgie, and Tim gives Jade one of his buckles. So we kind of have a send off for her. And then Dylan picks up Flame. And he says to her, you're the one who quit, which is true. And then, so she's going to do the event on Phoenix. And I didn't know that Phoenix was a jumper. Am I forgetting that?
Yeah, Phoenix is a jumper. He's just not on the same level as like Flame. Because that was his big thing. He kept jumping. Out of his, you know, enclosure, you know, he would just keep running away. So he has a jumper, but yeah, again, this just is like fairy tale land of like, let's just take a horse and make it an Olympian. In such a sort, you know, a short space of time. Whereas, you know, these horses are like bred for the Olympics.
Yeah, it seemed ridiculous. And then, we get a really cute scene between Wyatt and Georgie on the swings.
Yeah, good. I like that. Yeah.
And then she kisses him. And then we end with Lindy on the mini horse, which was adorable.
Yeah, adorable. Again, it's just weird that Ty's missing these sort of moments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the little outfit and the jeans and the jacket was so cute.
It was really cute. So I would actually give this a pretty high score. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it really worked for me emotionally, which I think is all you can ask for in terms of Heartland. So yeah, right. I would say like, you know, 7.5 or 8.
Yeah, I was going to say an 8. I liked this episode. I thought it was good. So yeah, that's it for these three. So let us know if you're listening what you think about these three episodes. And maybe hopefully you liked the first one better than we did. But we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comment section or on Twitter. And Michelle, how can people find you?
On Twitter at Michelle R. Benson.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check that out. Also, make sure that you are following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. It helps us a lot. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our Patreon group and merch store. And we have Heartland inspired merch in the merch store. So please take a look at that. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.